If you have your Bibles, if not, you can listen along. I'll be reading the verses out loud, and you can listen as I read them. The most important event in history is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And a lot of people on Easter are worried about their Easter egg hunt and their dresses and all those things. And I'm not preaching against those today, but I want you to take time to think about it today. That death has been defeated and that Jesus is resurrected. And we have hope for eternity. And that is the most important thing about this day. And we're John chapter 20, and I want to start. Let's stand together just a moment while we read these verses. Everybody standing. John chapter 20 and verse 11 is where I'll start reading. But Mary stood without the sepulcher weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher. And seeing two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? And she said unto him, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew that not that it was Jesus. And Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus said unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended unto my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, If I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. And then I want to keep your finger there in John 20. I'm going to read one verse out of Matthew chapter 26. And verse 75. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus, which he said unto him, Behold, the cock crow, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. And then John chapter 20 and verse 19, the same day at even, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst of them and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said unto them, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. You may be seated. And I want to talk to you just for a moment today about then were the disciples glad. How Jesus and his resurrection brings hope. Pretty tough day right here. Pretty hard day right here. Can you imagine the disciples? They were adult men. They had careers. And one day a man walks by their boat and says, Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And they forsook their boats. They just walked away from their nets, walked away from their boats, just left them there, and they followed him. He walked by another man who was a tax collector and said, Follow me. And the man followed him. And he continued to walk around until he had 12 disciples just walking by and inviting them to follow him. And they followed him and left everything and left their, literally in some cases, left their families. Peter had a family and he left his family. And later we find his mother-in-law being healed. And they just left. They began to follow him, and for 3.5 years they followed him. And that was their life, their entire life. Think about if you did something that was your whole life, from now into 2015 or 2016, and that's all you did. You didn't have a house. You just left everything you knew, your career, your car, your job, your everything, your family, and you just followed one person and lived there and just hung around him. They followed him and learned the things he taught, and he began to do miracles. They watched him feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. They watch him take a blind man and heal his sight where he could see. They watch a lame man get out of bed and carry his bed away. And they began to watch these miracles happen after miracle after miracle after miracle. And they just are following him around. And then one day he says, I'm going to send you guys out to do miracles now. And he gave them power, it says, to cast out unclean spirits and to do miracles and to heal people. And off they went, and they began to have this power. And demons were cast out by them. And they were amazed. They came back to him and said, can you believe even the demons are doing what we're saying? And we can heal people, and people who can't walk can walk, and people who can't see can see. Can you imagine just the, I found it. This is real. I mean, he has great power, and we're doing all these amazing things. We're seeing the power work through us, and people who've never seen or walked or lepers healed. Everybody, I mean, this is amazing. Our life is incredible. And listen to him teach. What he says is truth. And pretty soon they couldn't stop. They couldn't stop the crowds. They had 5,000, 10,000, 15,000 people crowding around to hear him teach. And people were just going, I've never heard it like this. I've never heard teaching like this. And they would listen to it. And it was so contrary to what they'd ever heard before. Loving your enemies. And blessing your enemies, and lose your life and find it and take up your cross, and the cross will crucify you. And they're listening and just in awe of all he teaches, and everything he said came true. And they began to say, this must be the Son of God. And he asked them, who do you think I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And they believed that he was the Messiah. 3.5 years they lived with him. They had many times no place to lay their head, living out in the wilderness, and many times in every different circumstance. They lived their entire life, and they believe that we have met the Messiah, and he's chosen us to be with him. And then other people went with them, and there was ladies, there was Mary, and there was other people following them and ministering to them. And these people all built their life upon Jesus Christ completely. He was their beginning. He woke, when they woke up in the morning, he was there. When they went to bed at night, he was there. They slept well because they believed they were with the Son of God. But then he began talking about dying. And they would say, when are you going to restore your kingdom? When are you going to deliver Israel from the Romans and make Israel the headquarters of the world like the Bible prophesied? And he said, you know what? It's not for you to know anything about that. Don't worry about that. The kingdom of God is here right now, and it's within you. But I'm going to die. And they kind of dismissed it and didn't really listen to him and thought, he's the Son of God, he's Messiah, he's not going to die. And he began to talk about dying, and he also talked about being raised from the dead. See, the Bible in the Old Testament talked about Jesus being raised from the dead. Thou wilt not leave thy Holy One in hell, neither will I suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. The Messiah was going to be raised from the dead, but they saw him. It's a very hard thing if you ever know somebody who becomes terminal. And you love them and you know them, and many of you aren't children anymore, and so many of you have been through this with somebody, and it's like, no, you can't die, you can't, you're like me, you're going to be with me. And it's very hard to grasp that in our mind because we're so physical, and we're there with people and we see them, and he says, I'm going to die, and they couldn't register that. And Jesus told them that, though, and he told everybody else that, he announced that. I'm going to die, but when I die, I'll be raised from the dead. And in Matthew chapter 12, and I'll just read a few verses to you. You don't have to turn to all these, but I have a lot of verses. Jesus begins to tell them, I'm going to die. Verse 38, it says, as certain scribes and Pharisees say, Master, we'd see a sign from thee. But he answered and said to them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. But there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of Jonas the prophet. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. He says, I'm going to give you a sign. It'll be a sign that Jonah had. Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a whale. And I'm going to be 3 days and three nights in the earth. And that'll happen. I always laugh when people say, Good Friday. They don't do their math very well. If it's 3 days and three nights, and you start on Friday, let's see, you say it's at noon, Friday at noon till Saturday at noon, Saturday at noon till Sunday at noon, Sunday at noon till Monday at noon. That's 3 days and three nights. That's a tradition of man. It's not a Bible thing. Good Friday wouldn't coincide with a three-day death, and if Sunday's a resurrection, which it was. It does say resurrection was on Sunday, and so it's probably good Thursday, actually. But those traditions are there, so. But he said, I'm going to be 3 days in the ground. I'm going to die, and that's going to happen. In Matthew 16, he talks about it again. And he says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things, the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be killed and raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord. this is not going to happen unto you. And he told them, I'm not only going to die, but you're all going to scatter. And you're not going to stay with me, and you're going to abandon me. I'm going to die, you're all going to run away, and I'm going to be left alone, and they're going to crucify me. And then 3 days later, I'll come back to life. And they said, no, you're not going to die, we're not going to scatter, we're going to be with you, and you don't have to worry about it. And they were owed for everything. And he told them that. And Peter did all those things. He began to talk of his death and resurrection, told him all those things, and then Peter began to fail multiple times. Peter tells him, you're not going to die, be it far from the Lord, this shall not be done unto thee. He says, it was ordained before the world began, Peter. I'm going to die. And Peter said, no, don't do this. And Peter says, get thee behind me, Satan. How is it like the Son of God to call you Satan? Get thee behind me, Satan. You're an offense unto me. Oh, man, what an insult. For you savor not the things of God. You savor the things of the world. He says, don't tell me that. I'm going to die. I have to die. If I don't die, it's going to be really bad. The whole world needs me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And Jesus told that ahead of time, that he was going to die. He told him he wouldn't die. then Jesus says, no, I'm going to die, and you're not going to be there for me. And Peter said, yes, I will. He says, I'll die before I'll deny you. And in Matthew 26, he says, I will never deny you. And verse 31, it says, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. Matthew 26, 31, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd and the sheep, and the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I will rise again and will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said to him, though all men be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said to him, verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter said, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. You think they would have figured Jesus, usually when he said something, it came true? And they wouldn't have been so arrogant. They'd have said in their mind, I don't care what he says, I'm not going to do it. But they said it out loud. And Peter, of course, being the loud one who always says things, says, Peter says, I'll never deny you. I'll die if I have to. He says, before the cock crow, you're going to deny me three times. And not only did he deny him, he denied him with a curse. I know not the man, blankety blank, 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 and did all these curses and all these things because he denied Christ and didn't want to die himself. And everything he said didn't come through. Peter said he denied with a curse, and he didn't do that. And boy, it's a tough situation. They've lived their whole life believing this is the Son of God, and somehow that when after he's resurrected, they kept saying, don't you remember the words that he said to you? I'm going to rise again. But somehow their hearts were hardened. Sometimes when we hear something, we don't hear something because we don't want to believe it. And he said, you're going to die, and that's going to be the end of it. I'm going to die, and that's going to be the end of it, and I'll come back to life, and you're going to deny me. And they said, no, it's not going to happen. And then the soldiers came and they scattered. And then Peter denies him three times and the cock crows and he weeps bitterly. And if this were the whole story, it'd be a pretty, pretty sad story. It'd be the kind of book a woman would read, not a man. I'll see my wife or my kids reading this book and they're all crying. They're all bawling. Oh, look at this. What happened? Oh, the husband died and left her with 10 kids. And then she died and they're all orphans. And they're all scattered all over. Why are you reading that? I like the guy comes in, all the bad guys die, and the good guy wins. And he rides in the sunset with a pretty girl. The end. That's the story right there. And so here's this terrible story. Peter weeps bitterly. He denies Christ. Christ is dead. Mary is the one who is healed of all her wickedness and immorality and demons. And she's the one who seems to love Jesus more than anybody because he delivered her. And now her Lord is dead. And she's going to the sepulcher to take care of his body. And the body's not there. And she begins to weep. And there's angels in there. And they said, why are you weeping? It says, because they've taken my Lord and I know not where they've laid him. But yet we read this story, and she turns around, and there's Jesus, and he talks to her. And we read the story of the disciples, and in this very section it says, then were the disciples glad. They're happy. And they became happy at the end, and they became joyful in the end. And Jesus comes in the room and says, peace be unto you. That's where he starts with peace. You know what? You can have peace. You can have joy. Everything's fine. I've been raised from the dead. And the disciples, it says specifically, were glad in John chapter 20. Then were the disciples glad. They had their hope back. They had their joy back. They were happy. And everything was good. Their broken hearts, can you imagine for 3 days? Can you imagine? You had denied him 3 times. He had seen him crucified. Peter and John followed, and Peter followed afar off. And they watched him, and he was crucified. And the sky became dark, and he died. And they put the spirit through his side just to finish the story off. And the women wept, and they took the body and laid it in a tomb and said, "He's dead. I can't believe it. The Romans killed him. We thought he's going to bring the kingdom in. We thought Israel would be restored. We thought he'd fix everything. How can he die? He brought people back to life. Oh, how can I have denied him? What if this whole thing isn't true? I've left everything for 3 years. He's dead. His body is in the grave. Man, what if, I mean, it had to be true. I mean, we did those miracles and we saw him do the miracles, but he's dead. It is so bad, and we denied him, and we ran from him, and this is so miserable and hopeless, and what did I do with my life?" And just confused, brokenhearted, thoughts of failure, thoughts that I blew it, thoughts, and they did blow it, and they did fail, and they did mess up, and thoughts of what is my life going to be now? Do I have to go back to fishing? Do I have to do this? And I lost so much, and people are going to mock us and say, "You thought Jesus was the Son of God? He's dead now." And everything looked broken, and they were confused, and they were hurt, and they were talking to each other, "Why did you do this?" And everything was bad and terrible. But then were the disciples glad. Jesus had the ability to come to them, and he was raised from the dead, and he brought hope and gladness and peace. He was obviously raised from the dead. Why else would they live for him afterward? Listen, this wasn't some fable that they made up. If it was, why in the world wouldn't the Roman government, the most powerful government in the world, ruling the whole world at the time, just produce the body? They guarded the body because they're afraid of this. If he wasn't raised from the dead, why would the disciples live their lives saying he was raised from the dead if they just hid the body? Especially when they were killed for doing it. If I was lying and saying, "You know what, he was raised from the dead," actually I knew the body was hidden behind the hill there, and they were going to take me and crucify me, I'm saying, "Okay, the body's over the hill." Yet they never did that. They went to death saying that. And he continued to appear to person after person after person. It's very confusing as you read the passages because he appears to so many people and does it so quickly and in so many different situations. But I'm going to read to you just the order of the resurrection because there's many events and a lot of different things happen. Mary Magdalene, she went to the tomb and started for the tomb, and she found the stone rolled away, which was not supposed to be rolled away and was guarded by soldiers. Mary Magdalene goes to tell the disciples. Mary, the mother of James, draws near and sees the angel. She goes back to meet the other women, following with spices. Peter and John arrive and look in and then depart. Mary Magdalene returns weeping and sees two angels and then Jesus. The risen Christ tells her to tell the disciples. Mary, the mother of James, meanwhile, returns with the women. They go in and see the two angels. They hear the angel's message. On their way to go tell the disciples, they are met by the risen Christ. Then he appears to Mary Magdalene first, then to the women returning to the tomb, to Peter later in the day, to the disciples on the road to Emmaus in the evening, to the apostles except Thomas, then to the apostles later that week, a week later with Thomas. And then he appears in Galilee by the seven, to the seven by the lake of Tiberias, in Galilee on a mountain to the apostles and 500 believers. At Jerusalem in Bethany, again to James, at Olivet, he ascends. There's a lot of people. There's well over 500 people who saw him. He appeared for a couple weeks. And he kept on showing them his body, and he spent personal time with them. And when he came back, it went from miserable failure and emptiness to complete hope and complete joy and gladness. How did he bring them hope and gladness and peace? I think that's a message for today because it still matters today, and Jesus can still bring us hope and gladness and peace. Because there's not a lot of hope and gladness and peace in this world sometimes. But you know what? There's a lot of hope and gladness and peace in Jesus Christ. How did he bring that to them? Just, I got a few real simple points, and he can do all these things for you. First of all, he spoke to them personally. If we go back to John chapter 20, we see Jesus speaking to them personally. And there's just one beautiful word that changes everything for Mary. Remember, Mary was a wicked woman full of demons, and she got saved, and she wept for Jesus and washed his feet and anointed him and did many things, and she was faithful even to the cross. And yet, she came to the tomb, and she was very upset because she walked in, and there's two angels, one at each side of the bed, and she began to weep. And she said, they said, "Why are you weeping, woman?" And she says, "Because they've taken my Lord." Didn't know Jesus had appeared behind her. And isn't it amazing that the immoral woman who got saved is the first one that Jesus appears to? He could appear to the kings, he could appear to royalty, he could appear to Peter or James or John, and he appears to this woman who loved him more, and because he had saved her. And she is saying, "They've taken my Lord, and I don't know where they've laid him," verse 15. And Jesus said unto her, in verse 16 of John 20, "Mary." There is something in the way that Jesus Christ said her name where she said, "Lord, it's you." By the way, he called her by name. God is not this distant God who doesn't know what's going on in your life. The very hairs of your head are numbered. And Jesus personally knows you by name. He knows your thoughts afar off. He knows your burdens and cares. He knows everything that goes on with you, and he knows your name. Isn't that good that God knows your name? God is not some distant God, and he didn't say, "Hey, you over there." Don't you hate when you don't know somebody's name you should know? How many, just during greeting time, some of you faked it. And you didn't mean to. You're just bad with names. I got two new names today, I remember. You impressed with me? Because it's important to know people's names. It's personal. "Hey, brother. Sure is good to see you." But Jesus knows your name. He doesn't forget it like I do. And Jesus said, "Mary." And just that one word made everything brighten up. He knows you by name. He knows what's going on in your life. You didn't go through all the things you've been through, and all of a sudden you go, "God, you know what happened?" He says, "Oh, good night. What happened?" That's not God. God is intensely watching you every second of every day. He even watches us when we do foolish things that lead to our problems. But every second of every day, God is watching you, and he cares, and he knows, and he personally has personal attention for you. He speaks to you personally. Do you know, during this sermon, I might preach on anything in the world, and God will be speaking to you personally. I'm preaching on the resurrection, and God's speaking to you about prayer. I'm speaking the resurrection, and God's talking to you about your family. I'm speaking the resurrection, and God's speaking to you about joy. Because God speaks to us personally. He's a personal God. And he goes and he says, "I'm talking to you, Mary. It's me. Mary, I'm here." By name and by person, he speaks to us very personally. Do not think that God is distant. God is very near. God knows about you. God knows every thought you have, every dream you have, every burden you have. That's why he says, "Cast all your care upon me, for I care for you." God knows your name. He knows your burden. He talks to you personally. Secondly, he showed care to those who had fallen the farthest. How did he bring hope to those who had no hope, to those who'd failed, to those who were brokenhearted? How did he bring hope and make them glad and bring them joy? He showed care for those who had fallen the farthest. A beautiful verse, another two words this time. The first time it was one word, just Mary. But this one in the book of Mark, in chapter 16, and a lot of people don't read this carefully and read right over this. But the women came to the tomb, and there was the angels, and the angels told them, "Go back and tell the disciples," and watch, there's two beautiful words here. In Mark 16, in verse 7, "But go tell your way to his disciples and Peter." Was Peter a disciple? Of course he was. Yet God, the angels, added those two words, and Peter. Two words. You know what they meant? They run, the women go to the disciples and say, guys, guess what? We're supposed to tell you, the angels have told us to tell you disciples and you, Peter, that Jesus is risen from the dead and he's alive and the promise came true. And Peter says, wait a minute, you just said the disciples, I'm a disciple, and you say, and Peter, why do you say that? Because the angel said to tell the disciples and Peter. And I say, Peter says, you mean God is saying that he's still interested in me? See, I was the worst. I mean, everybody denied him, but I went and cursed three times. And I denied him three times. I didn't just scatter. The rest of them scattered. I followed, and then I denied three times, and I cursed, and then Jesus looked at me. When he looked at me, the cock crew, and I wept bitterly. And the angel told you to tell me that Christ is risen. You mean God has not forsaken me, given up on me, said I'm hopeless, said you're the most wicked, forget it, because I feel like I'm just of no use. That God would never want me. And he said, and Peter. He said, yeah, it's weird. He said, the angel said, go tell the disciples and Peter. Peter said, wow. Why would God want me to know? Why would God even care about me anymore? But God took the time to go to the most fallen, the most wicked, the most wounded, the most wrong, the most heartbroken of them all, and said, I personally care for you. He showed care for those who had fallen the farthest. You know that God says, I will leave the 99 in the wilderness, or in the wilderness, the 99 sheep that aren't lost to find the one that is lost. Please, I want you to understand there, God has a heart for you who've really messed up. God has a heart for you who really feel like, I'm not worthy. The Lord says to you, and you, even though you've blown it, even though you feel like you've done the wrong thing, even though you see no reason why God would love you anymore. Hey, I don't know why God loves me either. But God loves us while we're yet sinners. And God took the time, and you know, don't you think Peter was happy? He cares about me. And then he appears in the room and says, he is raised from the dead, and he does care about me. This is awesome. Listen, you can never sin enough to make your God not love you. God commended his love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. I don't recommend you go and do real bad things. You'll get punished for it, and bad things will happen. You'll reap what you sow. However, understand, he loves a prodigal. He cares for you. And he says, go tell the disciples and Peter. He showed care to those who'd fallen the farthest, and that brought hope to them. And he came to them who had forsaken him. Jesus says, be content with such things as you have, for he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God loves you and never give up on you. And by the way, there are some heartbreaking stories in this room today. Some of you have done some things and left God, and some of you have some regrets, and some of you said, boy, I blew it. Hey, listen, I know you blew it. I know it's terrible. I know you have some regrets. I know you wish you could forget some things. I understand all that, but I want to say, God loves those who've fallen. And the Bible says, he loves all sinners, and Paul said, I'm the chief of sinners. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. How did he bring them hope? How did he bring them gladness and peace? He spoke to them personally. He showed care to those who had fallen the farthest. Next, he showed death has no power. Amen. You know, there's somebody, I heard somebody say something, it was so cruel and terrible. He said, in life, if you live long enough in life, you're going to leave the way you started. In diapers and no teeth. And I hope that doesn't happen to you, and I hope that doesn't. But you know what the truth is it doesn't matter what you do, you are going to die. People have tried to find ways around it. Isn't it strange that one of the persons who spent millions of dollars suspending himself in some kind of liquid thing that was going to make him so he'd live so much longer was Michael Jackson? And you know what? No matter what you do, you're going to die. And death is final. And people you love, unfortunately, it seems like, well, that's so depressing. I don't want to think about that. Hey, the disciples were depressed, but gladness came from the resurrection. I'm going to get a new body someday. Amen. You're going to get a new body someday. That old one now that creaks and groans in the morning. That old body that you find out that didn't used to gain weight, that gains weight now. that your arms become shorter and shorter when you try to read? You know you're going to get a new body someday because death has no power. Jesus was raised from the dead. Yeah. Death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where's your victory? Hey, the worst thing that happened is you die and go to heaven and live in perfection forever. No more problems, no more bills, no more heartaches, no more loneliness, no more pain in heaven forever. Hey, he brought hope because he proved death has no power. It's just a graduation to a better place. And death has no power. We also see, lastly, that he brought hope and joy to a very hopeless thing because he let them personally experience him. He let them personally experience him. And in John chapter 21, John 21, and I'll just read you a few verses here. I'm sorry, John 20, and verse, John chapter 20, I said 21, John chapter 20, and verse 24. And Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with him at the time he came. And the other disciples said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Except I see in his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, again, the disciples are with him, and Thomas was with them. And then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst of them, and said, "Peace be unto you." And then he said to Thomas, there's the name again, "Hey, Thomas." Yeah. "You said you wanted to stick your fingers. Here's the scars. Here's my side." He knew Thomas's need. He knew Thomas's what he said. And he said, "Thomas, touch me and stick your fingers right in there. Stick your fingers right in there." Because he talked to Thomas personally and he went to him in a personal way. He appeared to person after person. And he showed Thomas, because Thomas wasn't there the first time and he didn't believe it. He said, "Thomas, okay, I'm going to go to you personally. And you personally may stick your fingers in the holes in my hand." By the way, the holes were still there, so we can remember. And so we'd never forget the scars. And by the way, somebody said, "Well, he might have just been wounded," and Romans never let anybody get off the cross alive. And if you took somebody who'd been crucified with their bones hanging out and bled everywhere and a spear through their side and the wounds still open and never treated in their hands and side and feet and everywhere else, and you put them in a cave for 3 days, they aren't going to come back and convince anybody they're anything. And he comes back and he says, "Put your fingers in my side." And he goes to Thomas personally. We find him eating with them. Verse 4 of chapter 21, "When the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. And he said, 'Children, have ye any meat?'" He talks to them. And then verse 10, "Jesus said unto them, 'Bring the fish which ye have now caught.' And Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land a great full of great fishes. And verse 12, "And Jesus said, 'Come and dine.' And none of the disciples durst ask him, 'Who art thou?' knowing that it was the Lord. And Jesus came and took bread and gave them, and fish likewise. And now is the third time that Jesus showed himself to the disciples, and he was risen from the dead." He eats with them several times. In Luke 24, verse 39, he ate in the upper room with them. And he took bread and break it, and he took fish one time, and he cooked the fish one time, and he ate with them. He spent personal time with them. And he went to them personally, in a personal way, and said, "I know your needs, Thomas, you have this doubt. Disciples, I know you need to eat right now. Let's eat together. I know what your need is. I'm talking to you personally." And they experienced Jesus personally. Many people hear about Jesus. I fear even an open door, a good church like this. I fear many of you hear about Jesus and know about him. Okay? There are people you know about you don't know. There's a movie star you know about, but you don't know them. You can probably tell the city they're born in. You might know their birthday of some star somewhere, of your favorite athlete. Yeah, you know what college they went to. You know what they look like. You know what their favorite this is and that. You know a lot about that person, the coach of your favorite team. You know his history, where he's coached before, and you know about him, but you don't know him. And many people know about Jesus. "Oh yeah, Jesus died on the cross and rose again. I know about him. Yeah, I know about that." But you may never have experienced Jesus Christ. When I was a 16-year-old kid, I was at a camp, and I wasn't sure I was saved, and I went outside. There was a campfire there, and I went outside that campfire, and I went alone after the campfire was over at the evening service, and I went alone around the corner, and I go back to this exact spot every year if I can. I try to go back to the exact spot where I looked up to heaven and said, God, I don't know about my faith, and I'm not very strong in this thing. I don't know what I'm doing, but Lord, I want you, and if you're real, I want you to save me because I want to be saved. And boy, something happened. Something happened that week. I went alone with God, and I won't tell the whole story, but I went alone on the beach, and I saw the glory of God shining all around me, and I experienced God, and I began to know a person. I'm not talking about a religion. I'm not talking about a church. I'm not talking about your mom was a Christian, and you know about religion, and you know about church. I'm talking about, do you know this person personally? Because he wants to talk to you personally. And he wants to be friends with you personally. And he says, draw near unto God, and he will draw near unto you. Are you close to God? Have you experienced Jesus Christ? We sang earlier, he touched me, oh, he touched me. And all the joy that floods my soul, something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. It's time to not hear about Jesus. It's time to know him. It's time not to experience religion. It's time to experience Jesus. Well, I heard about this at church, and I learned about that, and I've heard about Christians who are like this, and I'm just not going to go to church. You've never experienced Jesus because you would never disobey him and go away from him and forsake him if you knew him. You looked at people, and you experienced religion. You didn't experience Jesus. When you experience him, something changes. You know a person, and it's not about religion. Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship. And you've got to experience him personally. And how many times after the resurrection did he come to two disciples on the road to Emmaus? Did he come to Mary personally? Did he come to the women personally? Did he come to the disciples? Did he include Peter personally? Did he come to Thomas and say, Thomas, you need to put your hands on my side because this is what you need. And God knows your needs and he cares about you. And when you experience Jesus personally and he's in the room with you, and you can sing the songs like in the garden, and he walks with me and talks with me and tells me that I am his own. When you get to experience that person, it changes everything. And nothing in life is too tough. And nothing in life is too bad. And no sin is going to make him not love you. And nothing can separate you from God's love. And you are filled with such joy and hope in life that things can change and things can be troubled. And chaos can happen in this world, which it does. And dreams can be dashed and bad things can happen. But when Jesus is around, everything's just fine. Amen. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Everything was just fine. John chapter 20 and verse 20. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And what did he say? Jesus said unto them again, peace be unto you. Can I tell you, hope comes from him. Amen. This church can't give you hope. I can't give you hope. Your optimism can't give you hope. Your denying reality can't give you hope. You figuring your problems all out can't give you hope. And money can't give you hope. And give you peace. And give you joy that cannot be taken. Those are things that Jesus Christ in person gives you. And if you've never been saved today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you're not sure you're going to heaven, today's a day for you to get hope from him. And today, maybe you've said, I've accepted Jesus, but I've never been close to him. It's time for you to get close to him because he'll bring you hope. He comes to you personally and lets you experience him personally. You've heard about religion, you've heard about church, but when you meet him, something happens. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we see then were the disciples glad. Then were the disciples glad. They had heartache and heartbreak for the 3 days before. 4 days before, yet then were they glad. Lord, he came to Mary personally. He came and said, and Peter, because you love the fallen, because you want to give us hope, because you have the ability through the resurrection to show you there's hope in life. But Lord, this life, like with the disciples and like with Mary and like with other people, this life dashes hope sometimes and dashes dreams, and we fail and mess up, and sometimes bad things happen, and we need to keep our hope. You said, my joy no man takes from you. Help us, Lord, to keep that hope in Jesus Christ. May somebody today who is not saved be saved and meet Jesus Christ. May those who are saved and born again today, may they experience Jesus. May somebody who today who's fallen and lost hope and maybe messed up, and maybe feel like they've disappointed you, and disappointed other